Thank you for listening to the podcast of Faith Baptist Church of Enfield, Connecticut. We hope and pray that these messages from Pastor Gary will be a help to you. You can find out more about our church at www.fbcenfield.com or find us on Facebook. God bless and enjoy the message.
Amen. You may be seated. Luke chapter 1 this morning. Luke chapter 1. Take your Bibles out and turn there. Luke chapter 1. How many of you like to wait? You enjoy waiting. Anybody? How many of you like never get aggravated when you're waiting? No spiritual people here like me this morning, huh? The other day I was driving. My son was driving. I was passenger, and we're coming up the hill up here by Danny's, and as he's coming up, he's getting ready to take a right, and he lets the car in front of him take a left, and he says to me, he says, I like to let people take a left there because I know how much they wait. And I said to him, Joe, I always get aggravated with the guy in front of me that lets the guy take the left. That's how spiritual I am. He just looked at me like that. It's amazing how impatient we are today. I don't know if you ever checked yourself or thought about how impatient we really are in our lives and how we let really very insignificant things aggravate us. And just somebody going slow or going the speed limit or going, is really aggravating. If they're going 2 miles under the speed limit, yeah, I'm ready to ram them. You ever have those videos where it's a video and it says, wait for it. Like the point's going to come. And they'll say, wait for it. The point of this video is going to come. And then you'll have a commercial. Right? You know what I do? That's it. I'm not waiting for it. I'm going on. I don't care. So we have this serious problem with waiting. And we translate our cultural feelings into our spiritual life, our relationship with God. Because when we often get impatient when we believe God is silent. We often want God to answer our prayer right now the way we want it. And we want God to just do it. And sometimes that time of waiting can get us frustrated and cause us to sometimes lose faith or question God or say, why is God doing this and why isn't God doing that? And I have this plan and God is silent. Why is he not speaking? And there's times where we get like that, but there's also times where we need to trust God and understand that his timing and his purpose and his plan works in perfect timing. Now, we have beginning of the Christmas story. In fact, we have more in the Gospel of Luke than any other portion of Scripture about the birth of Christ and the circumstances leading up to the birth of Christ. And actually, we're not even going to get to Joseph and Mary. We're going to be talking about Zacharias and Elizabeth. Now notice verse 1 of chapter 1, verse 5. He says, there was in the days of Herod, the king of Judah, a certain priest named Zacharias of the division of Abijah. His wife was the daughter of Aaron, and her name was Elizabeth. Now, I want you to, if you go back here, you have the Malachi. So the Old Testament ends with Malachi, and the New Testament begins with Matthew. Okay? So we have this period between the Old Testament, where it closes off, where the Son of Man is coming, Jesus is coming. And how much time, period, years, approximately, are between the New the Old Testament and the New Testament? Anybody know? 400 years. I got a lot of biblical scholars here this morning. So we have a period of 400 years where we don't have any messages from the prophets that are recorded that we know about. I don't know, 400 years of silence where God is, in a sense, silent. His people have gone into captivity, they've rebuilt the temple, and then it gets destroyed again. And so there's this 400 years of silence where God is not speaking. And so we come here to the time of Herod. Now, what is Herod famous for? Anybody? What did he do that's very significant to the time of Jesus' coming? He killed the babies before that. Thank you. He rebuilt the temple. Herod is kind of an interesting character because he was a brutal character, but yet he had this love-hate relationship with the Jews. God used him to rebuild the temple. When Jesus came, if you remember, when they came out of Egypt, they had the tabernacle, which was a tent. That's where they did the worship. They set it up. They tore it down. They got into the land. David wanted to build the temple. Solomon built the temple. And the temple was glorious for many years until Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babylon, came and he destroyed the temple. Then, if you read the books of Nehemiah and Ezra, they came back, they rebuilt the temple, and then we have this 400 years. And we come, the Romans are in charge. Herod is appointed by the Romans. So, in those days, Herod, the king of Judea, he was the king, he was in charge. They were not hope I'm not repeating too many times, but when Jesus came, the Messiah came, they were not looking for somebody to come and die on the cross. No. They were looking for a powerful ruler like David to come and destroy the Romans and put them in charge. Because God made a covenant with his people. Anybody know what that covenant was? What was that covenant with his people? With David? Anybody? A king from the line of David would always be on the throne. So they were expecting a king to come on the throne. In fact, we're still waiting. When Jesus comes again, he will not come as the Savior. He will come as the King. That's why he should be King of our hearts today. So we have this message. We have this time period. We have this time of silence. And then God, all of a sudden, and he says in Galatians, in the fullness of time, when everything was right, when the Roman, now think about this, when Jesus came, the Roman government was in charge. They had established road systems. They had established communications. They had established the ability of the message of the gospel of Jesus to be spread throughout the whole empire. So everything was in place according to God's timing. And the Christmas story starts with Zacharias and Elizabeth. Because before Jesus came, who came before him? John the Baptist. Right? He was the messenger. He was announced. Behold, John, the Gospel of John starts out with John the Baptist. Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. The message of the gospel starts with John proclaiming the Messiah, and then Jesus comes on the scene. And so we come to a certain priest named Zacharias. Zacharias, his name means God remembers. God remembers. And Elizabeth means an oath. God remembers his oath. So we come to these two people. Of the daughters of Aaron, they were in the line of this certain priest, and they were there present serving God. Now, they faced many difficulties, as we're going to talk about, but in this time period of silence, we find this couple being faithful to God. I guess that's the word you could describe them. They were faithful. They were faithful to God. They were still waiting for it. They're still watching the video, waiting for the point. They were still looking to God. They still had their eyes on God. Even though 400 years had gone by, even though they had not heard messages from God, they were still hoping. They were still praying. They were still longing. They were still trusting what God was going to do for his for their nation, for them. They were faithful to God. Notice, because they trusted in his promises in spite of the present circumstances. That's what faithfulness is. Faithfulness is not just hanging on, but they were continuing to serve. They were continuing to trust God. They were continually being faithful to God. And so this morning, the Christmas story, or the beginning of the Christmas story, calls us to be faithful and to trust in God's promises to us, understanding that he will keep his word. I have a lot of people today that don't keep their word. I remember my grandfather telling me that when he bought his first house, he went to the banker and just shook his hand with a handshake. He was able to get a mortgage. Today, you need 500 signatures, 10 pints of blood, 5 or 6 witnesses, and all the money in the bank, right, to get... Because we don't have trust. People's word doesn't mean what they say. God's not like that. When God says something, he means it. This morning, I want to notice 3 aspects of their faithfulness. 3 aspects of Zacharias's and Elizabeth's faithfulness. Notice 1, they were faithful in the routine. Notice they were both righteous before God, walking in the commandments and ordinances of the Lord, blameless. Now, there wasn't much excitement going on. It's just kind of the routine. And sometimes we get in these ruts, and sometimes there's no great concert going on. There's not a great evangelist coming. There wasn't all these people being healed. There wasn't like all these great things happening. You know, sometimes we like the excitement, right? We want something to be happening, but it's not always possible all the time. Sometimes there's routine. Sometimes there's duty. But yet in this time of silence, this time of kind of ho-hum, blah, just kind of normal time, we find this couple faithful. We find that they were righteous before God. We find that they were walking in the commandments of God. We find that they were still looking to God. John said this, I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in the truth. That's his couple. They were walking in the truth. And there wasn't any, they weren't getting any praise. They weren't getting anything big building program going on or anything. They were just faithfully serving God in the routine. Faithfulness is a characteristic of God. Deuteronomy 7:9. Therefore know that the Lord your God is God. That's what he says. The faithful God who keeps covenant and mercy for 1,000 generations with those who love him and keep his commandments. Why were they walking in the ordinance of God? Because they trusted God and they believed God and they believed God was serious and they believed God was faithful. That's all they needed. Think about that. They didn't need a program. They didn't need a video series. They didn't need to be pumped up. They didn't need to be like, they just believed God and were walking faithful. And to be honest with you, if we're going to serve God and walk faithful with God, that's where it has to start. If we have to be pumped up and motivated and a new way of doing things and all these things that try to keep us going, do we believe God is faithful? Do we believe God keeps his word? Do we believe God's commandments are true, that the way of walking in with God is right and is going to bring you peace and joy and happiness, and that God sees what you do and God rewards you according to your works? Notice verse 8 says this. One day Zacharias was serving God in the temple, for his order was on duty that day. Think about that. He was doing his duty. They were faithful. I think of people like Bob Tholen and Mrs. Barry. Faithful. I can remember when I came to the church, we had about 5 kids in Awana, and they were doing it. Faithful. Wasn't a lot of excitement. Wasn't a lot going on. Yet they're still, Brother and Mrs. Tholen is still doing it today. Mrs. Berry's still teaching the kids. Faithful. Through the good and the bad. When there's 5 people in the church and 50 people in the church, they're still faithful. I think of people like that. They just keep going. There's other people. I'm not mentioning anybody, but I'm just thinking that here is this opportunity we have. We're going to be talking, we're showing a video at the end from Lauren and Evelina about their opportunity for sponsoring kids in Argentina camp. And I think of all the opportunities in Romania and different places where we have opportunities to minister to kids and impact the next generation for God. But you know, we have that opportunity right here at Faith Baptist Church every Wednesday night. We need some people. We need some young people to step up and be faithful. Think about it. Older people, praise God. But we need some younger people to step up and say, I'm going to do that. I'm going to be faithful. I'm going to come and serve when it's good, when it's bad, when I feel like it, when I don't feel like it. You know what I think of when I think of faithful? I think of my family. You probably think because I'm the pastor, my kids are forced to do what they do. I kick them out in the morning, lock the door behind them. You know, every Sunday morning, I never have to get my girls up. And I have to beg him to go and lead the music. When we came to this church, Elizabeth was in England, came home. Emily was at Bible college, came home, said, Daddy, we want to help you. And every Sunday morning, and I don't know if you understand. You probably think, oh, it's easy to come up here and you got talent. You can say, this is a spiritual battle every Sunday for me. Preaching. And it's a spiritual battle every Sunday morning, whether you're teaching a class, whether you're up leading worship. It is always a spiritual battle. But every week, faithful, every week they're there. Every week I'm not wondering, are they coming? They're not coming. Faithful. We need faithful people. In the services, when things are exciting and a lot of people, in the services when everybody's sick and everybody's face looks like they're, you know, they got a stubbed toe or something. When people are happy, when people are mad, faithful. This couple was faithful. He was doing his duty. I like that word. How many in the military? We're in the military. The military, do you have a choice to do your duty? Maybe today. Things are different today, but like you say, now I don't. You don't go up there, your sergeant, and say, I don't want to shine my boots. Now, what would happen, Mr. Walker, if that happened back in the day? Anyways, duty. I like that word, duty. We've forgotten that. There is times where you have to do your duty, whether you feel like it or not. So this faith, they were faithful in the mundane. I like that. Faithful in the routine, faithful in the ordinary, faithful when it wasn't cool to be faithful. They just kept going. And then number two, faithful and barren. That's really interesting. But they had no child because Elizabeth was barren. And they were both well advanced in years. So, this combination, we don't always like. They were faithful, but they were barren. In other words, they could not have children. There was nothing they could do to have children. And they were already advanced in years. They were old, and it was already, physically, humanly speaking, too late. And children were very important. Children are very important today. They're always important. Whenever couples cannot have children, it is a vexation to them. It is a burden to them. It is something that they feel. And I don't want to say more so in them time, but in the culture they were in, if you didn't have children, it was like you weren't blessed. And then, frankly, you needed children to get all the work done. Children were important for labor, for the family, for the house in those days. But they were also very important socially. But they were faithful. The Bible says they were blameless before God. Now, I want you to really think about this, because there are stupid, idiot Christians. When somebody goes through a problem, and I've heard this several times, baby dies, or they get a sickness, or something happens, and some jerk will go up to them, and that's because you've sinned. An old pastor's wife that's happened to. Wait a minute, how do you know that? Who are you to know that? We know, yes, God does chastise us, but you'll know that if it's chastisement. That's for somebody that's living in rebellion against God. But oftentimes, trials are to grow us, not to punish us. Trials are, God has a purpose. She was barren. Notice what it says in James chapter 4, verse 11. I want you to notice this verse. It says this, "Don't speak evil against each other, dear brothers and sisters. If you criticize and judge each other, then you are criticizing and judging God's law. But your job is to obey the law, not to judge whether it applies to you." I guess that verse is saying, mind your own business. Sometimes we can be very judgmental and cruel and make judgments that we don't know what we're talking about. Because none of us is omniscient. None of us are all known. We don't know what God's doing. And to make a judgment like that can be very harmful and discouraging to other people. And I don't know what they were saying. I'm sure they were talking about this couple. I'm sure Zacharias and Elizabeth were known, the couple without children. And I'm sure they felt oftentimes, what's wrong with us? What's wrong with us? What did we do wrong? But the Bible says they were blameless before God. They were walking with God. It wasn't anything they did. It wasn't God's punishment. But they were faithful. Paul said this, "I consider in the sufferings of this present world not worthy to be compared with the glory that shall be revealed in us." Paul said, any trial, suffering, pain, problem that we experience is nothing compared to what God is doing for us for eternity. God's eternal purpose for us. So faithful in the mundane, faithful in the routine, faithful and barren. And then finally we see this morning, faithful and chosen. Faithful and chosen. Notice, verse 8. So it said, so it was, while he was serving as priest before the Lord, in the order of his division. Notice, while he was serving. That's why it's so important not to stop serving. You don't know what God's going to do. According to the custom of the priesthood, his lot fell to burn incense when he went into the temple of the Lord. His lot fell. He was chosen. Now, let me explain to you. There's estimated there were between 10 and 20,000 priests serving. And the priests would serve, but there was only the chosen ones that could go into the Holy of Holies and offer the incense before the Lord. And you could go a lifetime serving in the temple and never have this opportunity. But it said the lot fell on Zacharias. And things are going to change. We'll see the rest of the story next week. I'm going to take this in two parts. But long story short, he goes in the temple and meets an angel and said, "You're having a son." In other words, God fulfills his promises. In other words, you don't serve for no reward. God sees your faithfulness. God understands, but in it all, God has a plan. Why? Because from the foundation of the world, God has chosen us. God has chosen you in Jesus. God's plan for you is to know him. The faithful God who died for you on the cross gives the promise, whoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. That's the promise. The promise is eternal salvation. The promise is eternal life. The promise is I will never leave you or forsake you. The promise is I will work all things to good for those that love God and those that are called according to his purpose. The promise for this couple, though they didn't know it, they didn't give up on God. They didn't say, well, I don't know what's God doing. They just kept serving faithfully. And the lot just happened to fall. You think? No, God knew what he was doing. God had a plan. God had a purpose. And in your life, as you serve him, there are times where it doesn't seem like it's going to work out. There are times where, well, I've been faithful and where's mine? There are times when we don't quite understand what God is doing in our lives. But we know that, wait for it. Don't give up. Don't swipe the video like I do. Wait for it. God's purpose will work out in your life as we serve him and trust him. Let's stand and pray this morning. Heavenly Father, we give you the praise for your goodness in your love. Lord, we're impatient, very impatient. Forgive us for our impatience. Forgive us for our questioning your ways. Help us to learn your ways. Help us to trust your ways. Help us to be faithfully serving you in what we do. Lord, help us not let circumstances, people, problems discourage us. Help us to keep our eyes on you and serve you. Lord, we thank you for the fact that this time of year we celebrate your promise. A Savior will come for us. We give you the praise in Jesus' name. Amen. As we sing, the altar call, when we sing, we're inviting you to come and pray. Maybe you just need to come and pray. Sometimes it's good just to take a step out. Maybe somebody will be here to pray with you. Maybe you want somebody to pray with you. Maybe you want to understand. You're not sure if you're saved. Somebody could be here to show you how to get the assurance of salvation. When we have this altar call, we're inviting you just to come, step out, and have a time where you meet with God. Maybe you've been discouraged. Maybe you don't understand what God's doing in your life. You see, Lord, I'm going to trust you, and I'm going to stay faithful, believing in your promises. You come as we sing.